What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
I don't know if this is worth talking about, but, you know, I always find it fascinating, like, what is a Pixar animated Disney film and a Disney animated film, you know, because there is that separation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for a second, I thought this was like, when I saw the trailer for this, I just assumed that it was Pixar. But then when I went into the movie, I was like, oh, wait, this isn't Pixar. This is just Disney animated. And it's a musical.
I would have thought it was Pixar. I like didn't even realize it wasn't. So what does Pixar do now?
What Pixar movie this year was Luca, which I don't know anybody who has seen.
I watched Luca. I thought Luca was really good.
Jirasa, you really
they
liked
didn't
it?
Promote it. They didn't promote it. It was like beautiful. It was like a genuinely beautiful film. But they just didn't promote it.
It was Netflix though, right? It was a Netflix movie.
But it was no, it wasn't. What are you talking about? It's a Pixar.
It was Pixar.
James,
no, okay, listen.
What?
I understand that the studios do this, that, and the other, but I felt like I saw it advertised on
James.
Netflix.
You saw it advertised on Disney Plus, James. What?
So I saw it advertised on Disney Plus.
Of course,
listen,
it's
this
a movie
Disney came
movie.
And went for me. Okay, that's why. That's okay, why
Disney's not releasing any film on Netflix. That's never going to happen.
All right, okay.
They have their own streaming service.
All right.
No, you.
You don't got to be so. What?
You host a movie podcast. You
man,
should
know I don't know what
things.
I watch so many streaming services. I don't know which one's which.
Come on now.
I thought. You know, it was beautiful, man. It was a beautiful film. It deserves more respect. But
yeah, I have only heard that it was good. I've only heard good things about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was just a really solid movie. It was hard, but you know,
the other thing that I was going to say was that Disney, like you know, the Disney animated films of our day in which we grew up were musicals, right? So you had these. Brought like, and of course, it was hand drawn animation, but you know, that discussion is a little old, whatever. We're in 2021, just we have to get over it.
Bring it back,
animation.
Bring it back.
wait, you're saying they shouldn't do animated, hand drawn stuff when they're doing computer
Look,
animation?
People, I'm just saying that there are people who are like, you got to bring back the hand, like the because there was this idea. What I'm trying to get at is there was this idea that Disney animated films fell off, right? And Pixar took over, and that was the kind of CGI animation,
right.
But like. You know, Disney had Princess and the Frog, which we've reviewed, and, you know, we weren't the biggest fans, so. And they went kind of away, like, they had, like, Tangled, which, like.
Yeah, that was fire.
The kids love Tangled.
Yeah.
Tangled was a hit for the kids, which, like, I don't have any personal feelings about Tangled, but I guess for the intended audience, the kids liked Tangled.
Yeah.
I'm not a Tangled. I guess I'm too old. I'm not a fan.
It's fun. But then you have like, you know, the I'm blanking on the name of it. The Frozen movies, right? It didn't feel like the same Disney animated musical where, you know, it didn't have the same like kind of mystique. It didn't have the same like Encanto, you know?
Wow.
We knew it was coming. We knew you were going to try to do it. And I think that's why everyone automatically put their head down before you even guy.
Yeah, we gave you the space for that. We were like, it's coming.
Yeah, because we just wanted to see how long it was going to take.
We foresaw it. We were Bruno, and we were like, we know it's coming.
We all saw it happening.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about, but I would like, I mean, do you guys agree? Like, do you feel like the, you know, up until this movie,
that, how you know, dare the you continue this?
No, I'm just saying it. Like, I just feel like the newer Disney animated films don't have the same charm, you know? It's like, where's the Encanto, you know?
I'm logging off.
How you know what I mean? Do you guys, like, you guys keep going silent, like, nobody's answering my question. It's weird.
Can we start? Can we like start the show? Or do you want to keep saying Encanto?
Oh, come on. You know this cold open full of Encanto.
Do you know what it means? Oh, that's such a mess.
Okay, right, let's I'm start the this. Show.
Jonathan Braylock,
James the Third,
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, all right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
We don't talk about Bruno, no.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Yo, that was fire.
That was my favorite song.
Put that on my Spotify immediately. As soon as I left the theater, put it on my Spotify.
It was in my head all day today. I could not get it out of my head. I just kept in my head replaying that song. Oh, man. Hey, everyone. For those of you who are listening for the first time, this voice that you're hearing, that sounds like it's full of magic and mystique and I don't know. It just sounds really special.
It's like a smell of shit. That's what
that voice is Jonathan Braylock, and the hater voice that you heard on top of the really nice voice.
I can introduce myself.
Yeah,
I can introduce myself. First off, this is the voice of reason and honesty. All right, this is the voice of Gerard Milligan, and John's voice is a hating ass voice. His damn self. He tries to coat it in sugar. Never.
I hope that. Can we leave that in?
Honestly, there's two votes to leave that in. So,
okay.
This voice, you know, this is James the Third. Hello.
Okay, hi. Great. Speaking of voices, we have an incredible special guest today.
Excuse me.
You're excused. And
this guest gets the same benefit that all of our guests get, which are drums. Please do not try to devalue. Wow. I'm going to give drums because I respect our guest.
That's not respectable. Everyone, it's Elise Morales. Welcome.
Wow.
From our cartoon president. That's what I was trying to say.
Encanto to be here.
Don't do this with him.
I love it. No conjugating needed. It's every form of the word.
What does it even mean? Let me look it up. Good Lord.
Wow.
Definition.
That's rude that you don't know.
Yeah. It means like you're Encanto.
Yeah.
They live in the Encanto.
Charm and glamour. All right, got it.
This is a podcast. It's a film review podcast. Review the films of leading Black actors. Talk about them in context of race and diversity in Hollywood. Also, actors of color. That's the film we're doing today. We're doing Encanto, a Disney animated film.
It has everybody. John Leguizamo has Stephanie.
Yep.
Beatrice.
Wilmer Valmarana.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, William Valderrama.
Oh, right.
Yo, also Diane Guerrero.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. And our main character.
I said Stephanie.
Oh, okay.
Rosa Diaz.
Who you know from?
Great voice work.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Is that
Rosa Diaz?
Yeah, Rosa. She's Rosa. I mean, her voice work was fantastic.
She was great. Mm-hmm. She was really, really good.
Yeah, it was so crazy because I was like, I know she's in this, but I kept being like,
same.
Is it her? Like, I kept being like, is it
I thought that
character?
Maybe she was strong sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Same.
And then, now when I listened to when I listened to We Don't Talk About Bruno afterwards, I was like, oh, there's yeah. and then listen. Yeah. Yeah.
I love Strong Sisters song. The one that was like drip, drip, drip. It right, was like she right. had like a sexy song.
Yes. Yes. It was
she did the a sexy animation, dance in it.
The animation for that was amazing. I loved that.
Yeah, it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, before we tip our hand too much, this movie currently has a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. It has $117 million worldwide box office as of this day of this recording. Now, let's finally just talk about our initial thoughts. And Elise, as our guest, you can totally kick us off if you'd like.
Okay. I really liked the movie. Well, you know, I went alone this afternoon, took a hit of the vape pen. There was like one other kid and his mom with me. And I went on a beautiful emotional journey with Mira Bell and the family. Amazing. I loved it. I don't know if I liked all the music, but I feel like other than We Don't Talk About Bruno, I don't know if the songs were like, because I really, Lin's last like Disney musical, Moana, I like got really into the music for Moana. And I'm not yes. sure if Encanto has me there, but I really enjoyed Encanto. Also, that yeah. main character looks exactly like me.
She does look like you.
Okay.
Halloween
costume coming up.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, glasses.
Glasses and everything.
Hair. There you go. All right.
She didn't just have the glasses either. They kept having excuses for them to be like off or like her like trying to get. Like, I was like, mm-hmm. they're using these glasses. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
glasses representation.
Yeah. A bespectacled queen.
I agree. For me, this world was so fun. Like, this story of like a house that's enchanted and has has these blessings and gives all the kids like special powers. The kind of lore of that was super fun. I think the characters were so fun. I laughed so much. I think I laughed more in this film than I have. I don't remember the last time I laughed as much as I did in this movie. Like, it was so funny. I agree. Like, the music, it's weird because it's like, I dug all the songs and they did a good job of like incorporating story into the songs. But other than We Don't Talk About Bruno, I felt like none of the songs had like a catchy hook, which I think is one of those things where it's like, it's hard for them to stick with you.
Yeah.
It was still fun. I am interested to know what you guys felt about like what the meaning of everything was, because I think I was a little fuzzy on that by the end. But outside of that, you know, a very enjoyable movie for me.
Like I said, I didn't like this movie. I loved it. It was awesome.
Of course you did.
It was so good.
Of course you did, James. Of course you did.
I also saw it today in a basically unattended, you know, it's a Monday mm-hmm. afternoon. So there it was, me, my wife, and then the back row. It was so funny. The back row was like four people on, there's like an aisle in the middle, and there were just four people, both on the two people on each side of the aisle, and that was it. There were six of us in the movie, and like, this isn't about the movie, but when they waited and watched all the credits, but they turned all the lights on, so they were just a row of people sitting in silence. They weren't talking to each other, they were just staring at the words going up, and I thought that was really bizarre. Anyway, the movie, fantastic. Really fantastic. I agree that I was like, I feel like a criticism that Lynn specifically has gotten, maybe we talked about this on Heights in the Heights, but of like, oh, did you leave singing the songs, or like were they hooky? And I was like waiting for one. And when We Don't Talk About Bruno started, I was like, here it is. I was mm-hmm. like, this is my shit. Like, I know I'm gonna leave wanting to sing this song. And I feel like you need at least that one for a lot of the, you know, like Frozen, you're like, let it go. But nobody's like, I don't know any other song. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're mm-hmm. not like, mm-hmm. we don't, I mean, some of them, you know, leave with, there are like several like songs that you're like, oh, I love those. Those are all bangers. But like, all you need is that one. And I think that We Don't Talk About Bruno definitely gives us that. I found the cat was crying by the end of it. It was great to hear him back, and you know, back. He's hasn't been gone, but hearing him in a role was a lot of fun. And yeah, I don't know what else to. If there's anything else I wanted to say? Oh, I'm also interested in what people think of the ending. Because afterwards, I was like, oh, I don't know if I like. Oh no! And then I talked myself. I talked myself into, you know, like in enjoying what I feel like the message was. So that was where I ended it.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice, or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine. Enjoy Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, man, I like this movie. I ain't like these songs, though. I'm not trying to be a Disney musical snob, but even right now, before this, I have my Disney sing-along. But also, I will say, I was a kid who had Disney sing-along VHS tapes. Like, that was my jam. Yeah, I ain't like none of the songs. Like, none of them. But, you know, I think Bruno was cool. The thing is, you know what it was? This was one of the first times watching a Disney musical where I was like, I really liked the main story a lot. Like, I saw it last night in New York at like 8:20. And when I went to see it, it was pretty packed and it was adults. It was like, I was on a row with like 4 dudes. And at one point towards the end, I know I was sniffling and these 2 non-mask assholes who I moved away from because they had no mask on. One of them definitely was sniffling, but I couldn't tell if he had the Rona or not. So I moved, but I think he might have.
Yeah, what wasn't the sniffling?
I don't know. But it was all around the same time. But I really did like the story. And I think what Bray's hinting at, I think once we get to the end and start dealing with the grandmother, I think the story switches a little bit, or the meaning of what's happening, which I understand, but I really liked, I guess I really related to the original story about like finding your place, almost feeling like, you know, you're not special like everybody else, even like the little kid you love is kind of passing you by. Like, I think I relate to that a lot. Whereas once it got to like that, how do I say, I want to say it right. Abuela. Is Abuela?
Mm-hmm. Abuela.
Oh shit. Abuela. Yeah. Okay. Like once it got to her, I totally understood why we were making that choice, but it felt like that choice took away from, I don't know. I guess we get to it, but I really did enjoy the story. Music, not so much, but story, yes. Music, not so much, though, but story,
we
yes.
hear you. Lynn, my God.
Yeah, Lynn, you have made Lynn,
you were very clear.
Lynn, if you watch this, I think is you're great. Sorry, listen, whatever. You was messing up, too, saying, listen, we got it. Don't do this. But no, I don't want Lynn to think I don't like him.
Yeah, he'll just hear your review in The Heights and this film, and he'll think you love him.
Oh, I liked In The Heights.
Wait, did
remember? I liked In The Heights. Yeah, man. Oh, okay. I liked In The Heights, even though this movie did better at having different shades of brown than In The Heights and the trailer for West Side Story did. Not going to say it, but they did in animation. Love the color spectrum.
I love my favorite Gerard-ism is him saying, not going to say something he's already said.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I love the spectrum.
All right. Well, so yes, this film starts off. Wait, before the story, do we have? Oh, no, I know what it is. Because it starts, it's weird. It's like we get her as a little kid.
Yes.
And they tell like half that story. They kind of like, the grandma's kind of like talking about how the house is special. It's going to give her this special gift. And she's special, you know, and she's like really talking her up for this whole ceremony. And we kind of like, you know, we walk and she like goes over to the doorknob and she like touches the doorknob. And then it kind of, it fades into the present day. And we see her as an adult, or as I guess a teen. I don't even know how old she was supposed to be, actually.
I have no clue how old she is. I have no idea. Yeah. But you know what? She's a young adult.
Young adult.
You know.
Young adult.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they, I mean, it's fun because they were all like in the same family. And of course, you know, we get this like, and we know it's kind of established that her little cousin, it's his special day and he's going to get his gift. And then in the process of that, we kind of see the town and we see the little kids. And then we have our first song where she's singing about the whole family and what all the gifts are.
But what's your gift?
This song was great. And the turn when they try to ask her gift and she just starts singing about everybody else faster. That was so funny. Yeah. It was, killed me. I was gutturally laughing out loud in the theater of six people. It was great.
And I did love everyone's, like, everyone's power. I loved, like, the cast of characters I felt like was so good in this one. And you get it, like, right out of the gate when she sings the song introducing the cast of characters.
The only one I wasn't too... The only gift I wasn't too fond of is cousin... The hearing one. Yeah, I was like, this is cool. But everybody else got all this dope. Like, the one dude can shape-shift. Like, one can make flowers and plants and stuff, and she can just hear a pin drop.
But it turned out to be really good. Useful. And I liked her character. Like, I thought she was funny.
Same.
The way that they did her characterization.
The character was really funny. There was one moment where they were like, they had to like, they were like using everyone's power. And then Abuela like asked her like, like, what is this person thinking? And she's like, he's thinking this. And I'm like, wait, he was physically saying exactly the information you wanted at that exact moment. Like that. That really stretches.
Yo.
But you know, for the most part, it was fun, especially that moment where she was like, I know. It's like, we're the only two who know.
Yeah, that's her big shining moment.
Yes. Also, how they shot that sequence, or not shot, but how they rendered that sequence of just like every time someone would pass by her face, you could see the telephone of the info going down. Just,
oh, I loved that. Oh my, that scene was
sorry, that's so much
so
later.
It is much later, but that scene was so funny.
Bruno's vision.
It was cool to see everyone's power. And to me, this was the main, I agree with you, Gerard, like this was the main theme. That was like a great Disney, also a great Disney theme that didn't include like parents who were dead. And we talk about this so much for whatever reason, like so many Disney animated films, I guess animated films in general, like the characters are like orphans or like have one parent dead, or like it was so nice to see like, oh, the whole family was still alive.
They granddad got murked.
Yeah.
Their granddad got murked by the MS.
Abuelo got, he got taken down.
Yes, yes, yes.
The border patrol.
He got the MS. The thing is, I even like when they did the flashback. I was like, y'all didn't have to show the machete. Like, we didn't need to know how he got. I was like, God dang.
No, they did. They did. Sometimes it's like, sometimes you see a thrust or like you see a this or a that. Like, all they did for this was pull out the machete. And we
because my
know
thing is,
what happens.
That's because it's normally fantastical. It's like, you know, like Little Mermaid, we know what happens to the mom. Like, sometimes this is like real shit that people have to deal with. And it's like, literally, they're being chased by the MS-13 and they pull out a goddamn machete. And I'm like, this is... Well, it didn't even run at one point. I'm like, baby, you got to get out of there. Like, get out of here.
Her man was under attack.
Yeah.
MS-13, is that what it was supposed to be? It was supposed to be a gang?
I mean, those are the people I know who usually have the gang that normally is known for carrying around a machete. Could be another one, but I mean, that's the one I'm familiar with.
But they were on horses.
I feel like they were like old school, like, revolutionary army.
I thought it was like
people.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's from like the past, but I think it was meant to be deliberately reminiscent of like image wise. I think they it was supposed to be deliberately reminiscent of like, I think like the border and stuff like that too.
Right.
Because I think they had on t-shirts and khakis. I think.
Wait, what?
They had on t-shirts and khakis.
Drow, no. What are
they
you
watching?
They
had t-shirts and cargo shorts.
They had like, they were.
Did I make that up?
They were riding horses and had like torches.
You are fully making up t-shirts. No, but I'm saying, but that's insane.
But then y'all see the outline. I'm pretty sure when they brought the machete, he didn't have on khakis.
I think they had like the hats and stuff.
Really? I thought he had on khakis and a t-shirt.
I honestly thought they were Spanish conquistadors. Like, I thought they were like,
yes.
What? What?
I thought they were just like European, you know, colonizers. That's who I thought they were.
Man, I don't know what I saw. I could have sworn when we had that last shot at the end and he got real close with the machete, I could have sworn he had on khakis and like a shirt. Like a, I didn't, man, I don't know. That's on me. I put my own spin on this movie. That's on me. My bad. For real? They had on, khakis. I made that. I don't know, man. I thought he had on cargo pants. I thought they
wouldn't. They just clearly didn't live in the world of the present at all. Like,
I thought they were like, yo, these are the gangs coming after everybody. I think I put my own spin on it, man. That's on me.
Wow. All right. Okay. but yeah, we get all this. Abuela didn't have a gift, right? She didn't, she started it all, but she didn't have a power.
No.
Oh yeah, I guess not.
I thought by the end of the movie we were gonna like find out what her power was, and then and then that never happened. Yeah. Anyway, we get to the point where we realize she doesn't have a gift, so she's gonna feel some type of way about this kind of thing. And she's been living in the nursery. She actually doesn't get her own room.
That's
because when
up.
Everyone gets a gift, they get their own room, and it's like the house, you know, like makes a room that's, you know, around their gift,
which is crazy.
Yeah, wild.
So she's just living in a like a tiny nursery with the little baby cousin
who gets a room,
who then gets a jungle room. Oh my god!
I appreciated the Doctor Who reference. They screamed, "It's bigger on the inside" when they go inside the door. I appreciated it.
That's a Doctor Who thing.
It is. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I will say the thing I liked about this movie is that I do really feel like, I don't know, as a human who's getting older. And I'm looking at people under me, like, get on real quick. I was like, damn, it do be feeling like you ain't get the gift. So I'm just watching, like, everybody around me with all the gifts. And I'm just out here like, all right, cool. Let me just keep cheering niggas on.
For whatever reason, that hurt. That hit. You saying, you calling making it in the industry, getting the gift, that really, like, that hit me in a way that I was not expecting right now.
That literally the moment, because I didn't realize like the little boy was getting it, but when she went under the bed and was like encouraging him, even though she knew at that moment he was about to get something that she never, or at least at that point, could get or probably wasn't going to get, I was like, man, this just feels too real. Like, yeah. this moment feels too real. And she had to walk him, hold his hand.
She was like, I know you're going to get it, and it's going to be the best day of your life. Was heart-wrenching.
Honestly, I do think there was a small part of her that wanted him to not get it, so she didn't feel bad.
100%. I think that that's true.
But that's real.
And so when he got it, she was like, damn, this kind of hurts a little more.
Something's wrong with me. Yeah. It's not the power going away. It's me. Yeah.
Yeah. Every new person who gets it is another chance for it to just be her alone again, mm-hmm. not getting mm-hmm. it.
And it sucks because they showed her even before that scene, just trying her best to like help and like be like, you know, useful. And the fact that like she kept getting in the way and then, you know, the grandmother being like, yo, just let everyone else do what they do. And I was like, God.
Abuela was fucked up.
I'm saying.
She was so rude.
I was so upset.
I mean, maybe this will foreshadow what I think the movie was about, but I think a lot of it was about like the Latinx like family structure. And I do think Abuela being kind of fucked up actually is a good part of that, because I think that's true of a lot of families, of being like, oh, Abuela has PTSD and it makes her kind of messed up. So
that's so real, man.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
That's so real.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because even the mom, what's the main character's name?
Mirabelle.
Yeah, Mirabelle.
Mirabelle. Even her mom, who you knew was kind of caring, kind of really, outside of that one time of like, you always be mean to her, didn't really defend her too much. And it's just one of those things where it just felt like she was by herself. But it is something to her to like, even be by yourself, but still be wanting to help your family. Because like, this is my family. Even though they treat me like shit, my sister's not nice to me, my mom low-key don't be on my side, my grandmother does not like me.
But I think it was nice that they had the parents were really trying to be on her side. And we had a couple instances where her mom defended her in front of her mother, mm-hmm. which was nice. Like I liked mm-hmm. that we got to see that. Like it's interesting because it's a very nuanced thing, but I feel like it's not necessarily the case. Like usually it's like when you have a character that's like feels like an outsider, like everyone sees them as an outsider except for maybe one other person. Mm-hmm. But like she didn't like her sister. Her sister was perfect and her power is flowers, which is hilarious. like just she can create beautiful bouquets out of thin air.
Yeah. And then her like souped up power is that she can now make cactuses.
Anything. She can make all the. She made vines at one point. She can like turn it up a notch. She poison ivy.
But she could always do vines.
Yeah, she could always do vines, but like pretty vines. And now she could make like weird colored, anyway, like things that don't have to look pretty.
Yeah, now she can make a vine that'll like punch you.
Yeah.
It was basically all like desert plants. Anyway, but mm-hmm. it was a nice thing to see, like. The complexities of it. And then her mom was like trying to make her feel better by saying like, hey, like you don't need a power to be special. Like you're still special. And she's like, yeah, you're saying this to me while you heal me with food. Like, get out of here.
I had a question because I thought maybe I missed something. Why was her dad always being stung by bees?
He's just allergic to bees. It was just like a...
But what was there like... Like, what was he doing that was causing him to be stung so often?
So he gets stung twice, right? There's two times. The first time,
yes,
he's like working on something next to the bee's nest, and it's during the Encanto song, and we're talking about the family, and he trips, and then all of the bees like ascend upon upon him. And then...
Okay. So I guess it's just that this is happening to him often.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This kind of
it's
thing.
It's like a fun little characteristic.
I was like, did I miss something where he has a thing with bees?
Yeah. His power is wielding bees, and he's also...
All of the...
is that he gets his powers that he gets right. stung by
all
bees.
The time.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
All of the spouses don't have powers, and most of the spouses are men, which is fun. It's like we have the little kid who's a dude without a power, and then we have the Bruno. But then there's a lot of women. It was just like, yeah, you know, which was,
then there's a one boy who does shapeshifting.
Right, and the boy who does shapeshifting,
that was great.
Yeah,
he was great.
Oh yeah, that was so fun. That was just such a fun I don't know, like they set up all these nice little jokes, and like there were so many, like even the townsperson who was like, oh yeah, she doesn't have a gift anyway.
Yeah.
But no, she, you know, so here's your thing. It's called the not special special because you don't have a gift because you're not special. Like, anyway,
and then the little girl being like, if I was you, I'd be really. Oh, when she's like sad, and she's like, oh, maybe
I would be sad. Really sad.
Yeah, I'd be really sad.
I laughed so hard when she said it was so funny. Like, they just fully underlined how she was feeling.
Maybe your gift is being in denial.
That was such a great joke.
I was like, that's so rude.
Maybe your gift. Anyway, and then this little cousin, he has one of the coolest gifts. He can talk to animals. The animals like him. Like, they just come out. He's just like talking to a jaguar. Like, yeah. I mean, like, that was amazing.
It's not that he just talks to animals. It's that they want to talk to him. Like,
he's like a beastmaster.
He rules over all creatures now. Like,
I was scared, man. If he didn't get his powers, I'm like, I can't look at this little cute little. I need you. I was like, I can't get his little boy powers. And it sucked because when they did flashbacks of her, I was like, y'all gonna really treat this cute little girl like this? Like, no one consoled her. Like, the grandma just like held the candle and walked away. I was like, oh.
When she touched the doorknob, it turned to dust.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Like the door turned to dust, bro.
They didn't even have to do it like that. They didn't even have to. Whatever the candle does. You ain't have to manifest a whole ass door.
It was like, nah, you don't get a room. This door was gonna lead to your room, and now this door is turning to dust, and the party is over.
See, but the thing about it made it so sad is that they kept showing her turn around and look to her grandma, and the grandma just was like, "Oh." It was just at one point I think they even had her do the breath of like, oh. And I know it's supposed to be fear mm-hmm. of the magic leaving, but the fact that there's a little kid looking at you, I was like, "Duh."
Let's talk about this magic leaving, because it is a little hard to track for me. So,
Bray, don't do this.
No, I just want to see if we.
See if we can break it down.
I don't know if we can figure it out. Yeah, because
let's not do this.
The first time the audience sees it is when she's sad. You know, she leaves the party and she's over there, and then all of a sudden, like a piece of the tiles falls, and she cuts her hand because she's like looking at it, and then she looks up and like everything's cracking, and it's cracking all the way up to the candle, and she's freaking out, and she sees the candle kind of like. You know, and she goes in, she says, hey, the house is almost is cracking. It's going to, please, we got to go. We got to save the casita, and then they run out and nothing's there. And so they're all like, oh, you're making this up. You just wanted attention because you don't feel special. Even though she does have the cut on her hand. And then eventually we find out that from her older sister, who's strong, I forget what her name is.
Luisa.
Luisa, that there have been cracks before, or she felt her power drain at the same moment that she saw the cracks.
Right.
And she was like, I think this is like, Abuela's been worried about this for some time. Jumping ahead, when we get to Bruno, we see that he's been patching up cracks, you know, this whole time himself, meaning it's been happening for a while. So like, is the idea that it really is her that's causing the cracks, or is it the grandma, or is it, yeah.
My theory is that the candle was given to the grandmother in her time of need to bring happiness to like her and the townspeople. And so to me, it's like when she became so strict, to me, I didn't really get it until we got to her sister and we realized her sister wasn't happy, even though everyone thought she was perfect. So it's like, to me, it's like everyone lived in fear, low key. So like the house wasn't happy and the candle wasn't happy and the family wasn't happy. So like until the family all became like, I don't know, not, I don't want to say like they had to be joyous and happy, but until they all fully connected for the same goal, like the candle didn't come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And I thought that the cracks were like representative of like missed opportunities mm-hmm. by the family to like be together, like do yeah. the right thing. Like they just like, they harm Mirabelle so much. Like she watches this whole thing that's so sad for her. And then like everyone has a party and they kind of like leave her. And isn't it right after she sings her like I Want song mm-hmm. that she sees the cracks? So it's like, the family has like hurt her feelings very badly. And then we start to see like these big visible cracks.
It's the cracks in the facade, you know?
It goes back to that thing of like, it feels like the magic also, right? It's sort of this sort of this thing of like, you know, the magic is here for this reason that they explain, which is like the magic is there for you to protect your family and the generations that follow. But it's not about protecting the magic. It's about protecting the people. And that's why it's like, we're going to show the door and we're going to take away the door with this person. Like, do you still care about this person? No, you've been ignoring her for years and years and years, you know? So like the cracks have sort of all been building up because of the way specifically Abuela has been treating Mirabelle, but the way that everyone has sort of been looking at it is like, oh, let's uplift the magic instead of uplifting the family.
Right. But why does it take whatever amount of years from when she was a kid to this point? You know what I mean? Like, why yeah. didn't we see that? That's my only question. Is like, what put, and then the other question I have
why
is,
now? Yeah.
Yeah. The why now is the, that's the bit. And then the other question I have is, why didn't she get a gift? Cause we never really find out.
I think on purpose. I think for this reason. I think, and I only think this after the fact because they give it back once they reunite. But like, you know, she doesn't get a gift because like literally like this is a test. Are you worthy of this magic? You know, we're not going to give it to somebody, you know.
Because my theory is, and this probably won't make sense, but I think it's a cute thing. My theory is that her gift is the actual manifestation of the fire. She is the reason the family have gifts. She is the connecting tissue. She is the one that keeps them happy. She's the one that keeps them going. She's the one who like is the person in the town. And matter of fact, the fact that she had to open the door to bring the magic back, it shows that she's the most powerful one of them all, you know?
See, my only question about that though is that one, they all had gifts before her and there was a lot of people before her. And then also, if it's what you're saying, James, how come she, if it's just for the test, then how come she doesn't get a gift in the end? When
she's the fire, Bray. She the fire.
Right, because I think the point, this was the thing afterwards where I was like, man, why doesn't she, it's weird that they give it back and she doesn't still get one. But I think at the end, it's still, it's to try to balance both things, which is like, you still need to accept that family is family no matter what and the importance of that. And like, and so, you know, and so, and it goes both ways for both of them, you know?
She's the gift. She is the gift.
It's for the, she's the chosen one. She just is. Bruno saw her in the vision. Some people is the chosen one.
It took, you know, the family growing to this, because we're now at, you know, generation four now, you know, we're now.
It's just two, actually, because that's still her cousin.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we're like, we've built the family to this point, and like, and now, you know, and now we're testing it. I didn't need like, okay, it's been around for a bit, and now we're offering this test to whether or not you keep it.
Yeah, I felt like the why now was like because it was her little cousin's ceremony, and it's the first one since this thing happened to her. So it's like, you know, the family's next shot to like get it right, and they don't, and it just like the bad stuff keeps happening. It keeps getting worse.
No, you're trying to ruin this beautiful movie, Braylock.
No, he's just trying to understand it. Just trying to get to the bottom of it.
I'm not trying to ruin it. I'm trying to understand it. So the middle of it is after we see all these cracks, she wants to help the family. She's like, it's not me. Something's wrong with the house. You know, grandma is, for whatever reason, hiding it. And I'll try to figure out what it is so that I can fix it. And then I can save the house and save the family, you know, and everyone will love me.
Which is real. That's the beauty of it. Like, it's so real.
She's like, it's very funny. She's like, I'm doing it for the family and a little bit for me. So she sets off on this journey, and we find out that Bruno had a vision of her. And that's when we get to, that's when we get the song. We don't talk about Bruno because she's like, well, what's the deal with Bruno? And through that song, we learn that seemingly every prophecy that he foretold, because he could see in the future, was a bad prophecy. And once he said it, then it would come
true. This movie's so deep.
The only good one was Isabella.
Yeah. I mean, but even that though, like to me, this movie,
that was hilarious.
That little bit talks about like what I like to call, what I think what people call now, like the toxic positivity, where like all he is saying is like what actually is going to happen. Like even Isabella being perfect, we come to realize that she is miserable. You know what I'm saying? We come to realize like that whole facade, she is like, the whole reason she does the spikes because it's new, she gets to break out. And to me, it's so deep because like that dude was shunned for being honest and like even trying to be nice, because they even called him like the family weirdo multiple times in there. The family weirdo. And then this weirdo cares so much about his family. Mm-hmm. He never left. He was hiding behind the walls and patching up the broken house. I'm like, and then even they had that conversation after the house breaks down. He comes out with the horse and is like, I told her to do it. It was he still was trying to save the day. And I'm like, something about that character, like,
that was the sweetest.
I don't know, man.
And
it's really cool that it was John Leguizamo, yeah. Because to me, it's like John Leguizamo, since I was a kid, has always been pulling for like Latinx shit. It was like, it's like when In Living Color was on, he had his fucking sketch show right after that, and he had an all Latin cast on that jump. Like he'd be doing Broadway shows. Everything he talks about is like, and to see him get to be in a movie like that, it sucks because I can't remember the last time he was in one like this, just because he rides so hard. He was riding before that shit was popular. You know what I'm saying? He was around like fighting those fights when no one were like giving a shit.
Yeah.
Using his fucking last name. You know what I'm saying? Love that dude. Sorry. Just love John Leguizamo, man. That dude is
when they show that he's painted a, he doesn't even have a plate. He's painted a plate onto the wooden table. I was like, oh, this is too much.
Dog.
It was too much. No. I couldn't take it. He's right there. He's peering through a crack in the wall, having dinner with everybody. Been doing that for two decades, however long it's been since
talking
he left.
To rats.
It's crazy.
Talking to rats.
Oh, and all his like knock knock, all his little John Leguizamo has never walked into a voiceover booth not like ready to do something.
Yo, man, he is like that dude. Just, and he feels so, I mean, I know this movie is in New York, but like everything about him feels like fucking New York and like about it and just real and just fucking love that dude, man.
Yeah, him and the rats were hilarious. The rats were all up on the toothbrushes.
Yeah, they were licking his toothbrush.
And he was like,
his design was cool too. His design.
Where he lived, it was like a cavernous, like this, all these stairs, and then like all this sand. It was insane.
Oh, when she walks up the stairs, that's very funny. And also when the bird is like in there, and she's like, "Oh, you. Well, at least I'll have a friend." Nope, you flew away immediately.
Yep.
And then when the bird leaves. It's like all creepy and the bird's like bah!
When the sand comes. But also there's something about this movie too, is like, you know, when we finally find out that he saw the vision her in the vision and like told the grandmother, and like the reason he left was because he didn't want anyone else to know. It's like there is something about sometimes these family secrets that people hide that they think are trying to protect people, but
that's real.
Just really, really makes it worse. And it's, and that shit is generational. Like literally, yeah, you're thinking about like that was the son which affected a grandkid, which then affected the whole family because of one simple thing. And it's just like, I don't know. I feel like that happens a lot with families.
Yeah, I thought that that's a lot of like what this movie was. Like, I felt like so many of the roles were like, I don't know, an allegory for like Latinx families or like immigrant families. Like, I feel like so many immigrant families are bit like they're where they are because they had to like lose their father in some way, whether it be because he like actually died or had to leave to work or was just distant because he was always working like extremely hard hours. And then like a lot of these families have like really, really strong matrilineal things going on after. And I felt like Mirabelle's two sisters, like the way, like I felt like Bruno, you know, I think there is usually a weird uncle who like makes people want to think about parts of the family they don't want to think about. And also Mirabelle's two sisters, I feel like are a lot of like immigrant daughters have to be either like superhumanly strong or just perfect all the time to like get by. And so I felt like all of these people were really representing like the way that a family survives after like losing their home and going somewhere. Cause that's the grandma's whole thing, is like, she doesn't want to lose her home ever again.
And that's so important to like, just, I thought about it like people migrating to America, and even like Black people who technically, you know, we didn't migrate, I guess it was more like forced, but just how the grandmother was so put on the rest of her family, they had to be perfect. Like whether or not they were happy about it, they had to be perfect because they had to be perfect for the outside world. Outside that house for the town, this is the family with the gifts who does all this. Like the perfect daughter has to be perfect. Got to marry that dude. Like, the one who can lift shit has to lift everything for the entire town and like cannot have a break. And I feel like sometimes, you know, as people of color, there is this pressure to be perfect. Like I was watching people talk about the show Harlem that came out in December. And the conversation right now is, you know, with Tracy Oliver is like, yo, why can't this show be? Why does this show has to be representative of every Black person, like every Black experience? You know what I mean? I've heard Lin-Manuel talk about that too many times. It's like, I'm making stuff for the world I know, you know, doesn't mean like this is every Latinx experience, but like, because we have so few, it's like, we got to incorporate everybody, you know, we got to be for the person in the suburbs, the person who just got here, the person who's like in the hood. It just feels like so tiring. And I was like, oh
yeah,
related. It was so good. Oh man, she was a diamond in the rough, you know what I mean?
Once she kind of discovers, like, you know, all the trails leads to Bruno and realizes he's living in the house and basically convinces him to do the vision again, even though he had kind of sworn off ever looking into the future again. And, you know, they see this vision, they realize, like, you know, it has like two sides to it. Either she's gonna stand in front of the house and it's broken, or she's standing in front of the house and it's reunited. It, like, it hinges on her. And as they're looking at it, they're like, I don't know, it like, it looks like it's gonna go the bad way. And then she sees like a butterfly flying, and then they see like her hugging somebody. They're like, oh, when you hug someone, the candle will burn brighter, so you just have to like hug this person. And that makes sense to like your, the further point where I mean, this was how I always thought about the cracks, was like, it was cracks in the family. Right. And so like her, the thing that didn't quite connect to me is that it seems like it's like when she did it with her sister, her, the oldest, the strong sister, like she hugged her, but then there were cracks like right after that happened. But maybe that was because the grandma came and found out immediately. And maybe like the timing of that, just they played with it. So it seems like it was because of what she did, but it was actually because the grandma found out and was like even more mad at her and the strong sister.
Yeah. And also like for me, it was sort of like, because there's already a wrench between that relationship, like that relationship is already steeped in like
and jealousy on one hand, and then on the other hand, I guess it's on both, right? It's jealousy on both sides. Like, you get to do whatever you want, and I have to be perfect, and like, you're
so
perfect.
When they made up, it did make the house a little better. Then Abuela was mad again, and then like the final cracks kind of happen, and the whole house breaks down. And at that point, the grandma's like, "This is all your fault." But she actually stands up for herself in this moment. He's like, "No, grandma, this is you're the reason."
Yeah.
But because now the two of them really don't like each other, it's like it's all done. And then she runs away, crying.
Going back one brief amount, I did not like Flower Sister's song. I think Flower Sister's song was the only one where I was like, "This one's not good."
Neither did I. I went to the restroom at that point and came back to that song. And I was like, I didn't like it.
I don't like that she's like got all the weird like punky powder in her hair at the end, and now her outfit's black. I don't know.
It was cool. I liked what the song was about. Like, I liked what was happening in the song, but I was like, I don't think I like
it. It was one of the first Disney movies I felt like the songs didn't, from person to person, the style of songs didn't change. Like, I knew at one point somebody was going to start singing really, really fast, and it happened in every single song. But I mean that by like, somebody may have the ballad, somebody had like the bad guy usually has the quick song. And that's like, you know, whatever the contemporary music of the time is, like, is it rap? Is it reggaeton? Is it like, so, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know.
Lin was like doing all of his tricks, I felt like. That makes sense, but I felt like Lin was doing all of his tricks.
But I agree with that. Like, I had forgotten that it was him, and maybe it's obvious. I guess maybe it's, you know, I should have been like, oh yeah, of course it's Lin. He just did blah 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 or whatever. But there was like a point early in the movie where I was like, oh, who did the music? And then I just heard like a refrain, and I was like, it's Lin.
It's Lin.
Like, it was just, like, you could just like tell it was him. And there was a thing that happened. I was talking about how, you know, oh, am I going to leave singing a song? And yes, we don't talk about Bruno was at the top of my mind, but I also left being like, we are powerless, from
I didn't remember
like
that.
Like that has also been in my head as
which one was
it's
that?
The one when does that happen? When does when they sing we are powerless, I think it's in the second act of it. But anyway, it was just one of the song. It's after the blackout. It's after the blackout in the
I'm
house.
Like, I don't even remember
I don't
the
remember
song.
That at all, dude.
But I was singing that song. I mean, I'm saying I was singing a different song, a song from In the Heights, not a song from this movie. because you're hearing just because he was sort of doing his thing. It was very much like Lin-Manuel.
Here's my thing about the music. This is the last thing I'll say about the music. None of it, I didn't dislike any of it, but almost none of it stuck with me. You know what I mean? Like, it was all like serviceable and fun in the moment, but like, I couldn't tell you outside of We Don't Talk About Bruno, you know, what any of those songs
they
were.
They need a Magic Man G. You know what it is? It's the bad guy song is always good. And I know this movie doesn't have a bad guy, but technically we thought it was Bruno.
That's the other thing. This movie doesn't have a bad guy.
Which I don't mind. I like that it's a family drama, but it's like, you know, even I saw SpongeBob on Broadway, and when Plankton came out, Plankton had a dope little.
Oh, it was so like, good.
It was great. But also, you know what it is? You know what it is? I think Plankton, and I'm thinking about Magic Man G, they all have this like hip hop kind of vibe to it, which that's not what you get in this.
T.I. did Plankton's song, because they had different artists do everybody's like music for that. And I remember T.I.
T.I. did that? That was great. Wow.
The end of this movie is Abuela finds her in the forest and is like, basically like, you're right. It was all me. She tells her exactly what happened, which I was confused as to. I feel like she already told this story, but like, was it just that there were more details?
Yeah. Yeah. And then we saw him get murked at the end this time.
Right. But it's like, I guess like I thought they always knew that story. So I didn't know, like, there was a part of it that like she felt like it was like, I'm going to tell you something you didn't know. But then I was like, didn't we know this? Like,
no, break. And she was like, you know, I didn't think it started off with something like, I didn't think it was always going to be like this. And she literally goes, it started out, I think it was supposed to show her transition to like how she was like fun loving and like different. But then after the death, once they finally get the house, she puts the babies down and puts on black immediately and then walks outside. So it's like, I think it's supposed to show like who she transitioned from.
I think the reason it was hard for me to track this was that when we start out with this movie, everybody's having fun. Like, there's clearly the house has fun. And so this house has been having fun for quite some time. Okay. Before, and everybody had a power. And now we get this thing of like, oh, everyone like, or at least two of the sisters feel the pressure of the powers that they have. And like, we know now Bruno as well, like had this power that was like not supposed to help the family. But like, outside of that, like, I guess I was confused about like, what exactly was the pressure that the grandma was putting on everyone to.
Yeah, I think the way she kept saying everything has to be perfect. She kept saying everything has to be perfect. Tonight has to be perfect.
Yeah, and right? She was going to make the flower sister marry that man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that she didn't want to marry. Also, you have that run when she tells
and why?
Because she needed, because it was supposed to be really good for the town. Like, it would be good for the family. And even when they have that, when the grandmother does the flashback, you see even more extended as she walks past all the kids and all of them are kind of like, you know, kind of frazzled and they stiffen up as she walks by. It just feels like that. You know what it is? It feels like that funk, fake in the funk. It's like, just because on the outside, the family looks like really beautiful, there are so many cracks on the inside. Yeah. And that's the thing that like they have been covering up. The grandmother, Bruno.
That they're all just holding it together and none of them are really happy.
The Cloud sister is always having a hard, the Cloud aunt. She's not okay.
Freely not okay.
There's also the reputation of the magic in the town, right? So like a lot of that stuff is like they don't just have to projected for Abuela. They also have to, Abuela's like, the town needs to know that the magic is fine, you know.
For me, probably what was missing, and I think maybe they tried to do it a little bit but they didn't want it to be heavy-handed, was the fact that there was this like, you know, unnamed force of people who killed her husband, and that force is still a threat, you know, and like the town is still under threat and they're still under threat in some way, because she was always talking about afraid of losing the magic, but it was like, why? If you lose the magic, what happens? You know what I mean? And we never really got to that point. And there was a part of me when the mountain split open, I thought we were going to see, and maybe they even thought about this storyboarding it, and then they were like, this is too complicated for us to like explain who these people are. So like, let's not even bring it in and like just keep it in the family, which I think I understand why, but it did make like, there was a part of it that was like, I didn't know what the thing was that she was so concerned about, you know? And I still kind of don't. But now I'm mentally filling it in as like, it had to be that I understand the idea that like, because my husband died, and like, and I agree. I think at least you were saying this, a generation that went through something horrific is going to kind of pass that on to their children, like whether they mean to or not. And it's like, you got to live this way because this is how I had to live to survive, you know? And it's like, well, actually, you know, you want to survive and then have your, you know, your children and their children live better lives and not necessarily have to live the way that you lived, you know? And I think, yeah, like in the, I'll relate it to the black, like the black community, I think this is true maybe of the Latinx community too, of like, you know, corporal punishment or like, you know, the spanking your children, right? It's like, we have to toughen up and make the world, like the world is this way. And so you got to do this to make sure that your children aren't going to face that. And like, now we're getting to this place where it's like, actually, maybe that's not the best way to do it. And just because it happened to me and it happened to my father and their father doesn't mean it necessarily has to keep going. And I feel like it was kind of more an ambiguous thing. Maybe that's why they didn't fill it, because they wanted it to be like, it could be anything. But it also made it was slightly confusing for me. But I think I understand more now.
Great. I mean, to me, you know, the only thing, like the most important part of this movie is that we got to see a family and they got to be Latinx the whole movie. You know what I mean? Like, did nobody get turned in?
What?
No, listen, hear me out, man. No one got turned into no random creatures and had to sing a song. All right. The family with a family.
Did you see the preview?
Did someone turn into a creature?
Yeah, there was a preview for a Disney movie called like Red Panda or something, and it's like an Asian girl, and then she turns into a panda.
Listen, man.
Did you not see that trailer?
I didn't. No. I mean, I'm pretty sure red pandas mean something historically or culturally, but it's just like there is something.
The movie's called Turning Red. It's a Pixar film. It's going to be one of the new Pixar films.
Okay, Pixar.
Yo, why can't...
There's a part of me that thinks Pixar did this because they were like, even though this movie was obviously well underway before Soul came out, I still kind of think they were like, hey, we like turning people into things. And you think it's racist, but it's not because we did it to a black person and we're doing it to an Asian person.
Do it to a white person.
That's what I'm saying.
Luca was a merman, kind of, so...
Man, I ain't see Luca.
Yeah, well,
I told you I didn't see it.
I watched Luca. Luca was not a merman the whole movie, okay? Listen, he was... Matter of fact, Luca was a mermaid who got turned into a man.
Hey, Soul, he wasn't a cat the whole movie.
The white lady was the cat. I mean, him. No. I'm not focusing on the movies. Don't ruin this movie.
He wasn't a cat the whole movie.
Because the white lady was him. He was a blue dot.
I know.
Or he was... No. This movie, okay, is beautiful because we get to see a family of color. And all I'm saying is, in animation, it would be great to see more people of color get to be people of color the whole movie. Okay? I don't care what... I truly do not care what myth, what historical story, what everything I don't care what you've heard about, because we haven't had enough people of color look like people of color from beginning to end. Like James just said, if you take a white boy named Chadwick or Chauncey and turn his ass into an eagle or a snail for a whole goddamn movie, then I'm gonna be like, okay, we're getting somewhere. But that's not fucking diversity in animation if we don't look like how we look in the animation.
There's what's that movie where the kid turns into a mouse or Chanticleer? You remember, you know what I'm talking about? This is an old movie. That's not a Disney movie though. But anyway.
I don't even feel comfortable saying that title. Like, I genuinely don't feel cool saying that.
Let me just say,
Turning Red.
I loved when they gave her the freaking doorknob. They made a doorknob.
They made her own room.
Come
in the Magic House.
The doorknob was like, it was like her, she had to open the door to the whole house,
and
right?
Then the doorknob, yeah, and then everybody got their powers back. I just feel like what I would have liked to have happened at the end is for, I know that this isn't the message of the movie, but I would have loved for her to have gotten some power.
I know. Like, that's how I felt too. And it's like, I know you're not supposed to want her to get powers, but
I know,
it's like,
come on,
give her some fucking power. Yeah.
We were all waiting for it because we were like, well, because I guess the other thing is like, why couldn't she be special? Like, not have, like, I don't know. I was just like, maybe her power was empathy the whole time, but like, just name it. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, that is what I wanted. Or for them to be like, there has to be a matriarch who doesn't have powers, just like the abuela or whatever. Like, you're in charge of the family because you don't have powers, or like something.
Just make her the sucky planeteer whose power just was heart. You know what I mean?
Heart.
Like, what did he ever do? Like, he had heart.
Heart could never shoot hearts at people though, and that affected them.
You could get past guards and stuff if you shot them with heart.
Did he ever do that?
Yes, he did. That was the one thing he did.
He took his thing and went heart, and then like would like shoot the person.
He could also talk to animals, couldn't he?
Yeah, if you were attacked by an animal, you could heart the animal.
No, he only had that little pet monkey.
But you could heart the, if you were being attacked by like a lion, you could heart the lion, and the lion would be like, ah, I'm a chill.
All right.
Nah, he had the best power, actually. Anyway, go ahead, James. Sorry, I think you're building
something. Well, I'm just saying, because they made her, you know, they made that doorknob for her, and I just feel like they could have given her a power too, like, you know, you know, like she's there, you know, and she's like interested in the doorknob and she's like, how did y'all mm-hmm. make this? And then we like pan mm-hmm. over and we see, we just hear,
hey, I could have, I helped it. I made it.
How'd you make this doorknob?
Steele's like, it was me. I made it. You want to know how to weld things? And then
and then Steele hands her the hammer and she's like, I feel the power. And she like, and then she starts welding stuff.
Yo, it's so ridiculous.
You forced that one.
Really,
that was a force. That was forced. Steele is there and he helps.
That was funny. I thought he was like, he helped build the house. Like he was actually
we saw everybody build the house. We don't know where that doorknob came from. That doorknob came out of nowhere.
And that was engraved. That had an M engraved into it. It was like there was some mastery going on there.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Bray, end it.
That's end fun. It. All right. Well, we rate review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helped the cause of more leading actors of color. So if this film fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If it's somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't help the cause, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll show our rating for Encanto. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1. Yeah. Wait, what? What are you doing, Gerard?
You did rock and paper.
Hear me out, okay?
Gerard Milligan.
Okay, everybody gave a black fist, but then Gerard gave a black fist and a white palm, which is illegal.
Okay. Yeah.
Because hear me out. I'm just saying it deserves a black fist because it's a Latinx family and it's really dope. But what makes me sad to give it a white palm is that it is a Disney movie. Okay, a Disney musical. And I didn't like any songs.
That's not a reason to give it a...
We literally said you don't review based on how much you liked it.
Hear me out. Because I think when you watch these Disney movies, you want the kids going home singing some songs. And when they get sing-along DVDs, they're going to be like, oh my goodness, this song is like, I don't know, they can learn about history or something through this music. And I don't think the music did that.
We don't talk about Bruno. No.
We don't talk about Bruno. No.
Y'all don't know. I'm just saying it, okay? I'm torn. So I don't know. You guys go, yes. Maybe I might pick one, but I don't know.
The Familia Mirabal. I don't know.
Yes.
I like that front. The Familia Madrigal. Okay. That was it, right?
Okay, got the notes.
Yes, I did like that one. Wait, was that the first
one?
Yeah,
they reprised that one a couple times. Yeah.
I do like that. I did like the first song, even though I don't remember. I remember them talking about the different powers and stuff. I did like that opening song. I thought that was nice. All right. Well, Elise, thank you so much for joining this podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. And Encanto to be here.
Yeah. where can people find you? Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Absolutely. You can find me on Instagram at Pandalise, not a red panda, just a regular panda. That's PANDALISE. I'm Elise Navidad on Twitter.
I like that.
I know. And I really, it's at this point, it's just, I can't change the fact that I don't have the same on either. But a lot of people actually think my real name is Elise Navidad and have brought me up on stage and said, up next is Elise Navidad. And I have to be like, no, that's just my handle.
Wow.
And I also have a podcast called The Roast of Your Teenage Self, which is on the All Things Comedy Network. And it's really fun.
Oh, I listened.
There you go.
That is terrifying because teenage self. Ooh, man, that was an awkward boy.
Yeah, it's a tough time for us all.
Great. Thank you. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. You can find links to, we have merchandise like t-shirts and things. We have a defunct Patreon. We don't do new episodes on there anymore, but there's a year's worth of episodes. So if you want to subscribe to that for a little bit to listen to those, great. Also, if you rate and review us on iTunes and give us 5 stars, we'll read your review on the air. This is by PLLP Leroy Jenkins. It says, what up? I stumbled on the podcast when I was at work looking for movie podcasts, and this is a great representation of Black art. Now, a movie that always kind of confused me was Fat Albert. Kyla Pratt's character was a depressed teenager while her sister, Lori, was having the time of her life. Then when Kyla cries Fat Albert and the gang jump out of the TV and try to help her, how would these fictional characters help a human being who probably suffers from depression disorder with singing and dancing? LOL. I would like to hear you guys review this movie and talk about it if it was a good idea to have an overweight superhero who didn't even try to lose weight after decades of being around. Wow, there's so much here. But this is the movie did not have an all-black cast, and most of the actors in this film are still acting in TV shows and movies, so maybe this film helped the cause? Question mark. My, my.
His name is Leroy Jenkins.
Is Bill Cosby in Fat Albert? Or
he is in Fat Albert. He is.
Okay, well, all right. Anyway.
I still haven't seen that movie. I still haven't seen that movie.
I didn't see it either.
I've never seen that movie.
One day we'll review it, I guess.
I emailed a bunch of people trying to get in that movie at the time. I got a letter back from Bill Cosby's assistant.
It is one of the few films Kenan Thompson star is the lead
of. Isn't that the only movie he's the lead of next to Good Burger?
He was one of the mains in Mystery Men.
No, that's Kel.
No, that's Kel. And even Kel was supporting.
Oh, Kenan. Sorry.
And Kel was way supporting. Kenan was the other movie. The other movie Kenan was in was Snakes on a Plane.
Right, but he was supporting, right? That's ensemble.
100% supporting. 100% supporting.
He's Fat Albert. He's the titular character. Yeah. He's Fat Albert.
All right. Well, all right. Thank you again, Elise. Thank you for
Elise,
listening.
Thank you so much.
We will see you next week, maybe. I don't know when this comes out. Peace.
We'll see you soon. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!